Learn how to grow your church and engage your community from Sunday to Sunday. This is the Sunday to Sunday Podcast.
Hey y'all, this is Justin Dean. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast. We have a very special episode for you today. I get to talk with Jeremy Schrader at Declaration Church in Houston, and he is the communications director there, and he has an incredible story of how he got started during Hurricane Harvey. You've got to hear this story. It is so impactful, and there's so many things we can learn from it for the church and things that you can apply at your church, no matter where you are, no matter what size your church is. I loved getting to talk to Jeremy during this interview. And listen all the way through to the end, because we have a huge surprise for Jeremy at the end. You're going to love it. So I'm going to jump right in to the interview, and we will see you again in the new year with fresh new episodes of Sunday to Sunday. All right, Jeremy Schrader, thanks for joining me, man. You're with Declaration Church out of Houston, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, I got wind of your story a little bit from some friends, and I wanted to bring you on the podcast because I think this is an incredible story. I wanted to personally just hear more and get to know you better and what you're doing there at Declaration. First off, you know, congrats on being a new father. I know you got an eight-month-old son at home. Mm-hmm. So you obviously are not getting any sleep.
Very little. Yeah, very yeah. little. That combined with, you know, we just finished up Christmas. So that was that was quite the season.
Did you guys have a good Christmas?
Yeah, man, it was awesome. It was great. We had really, really awesome. We did two Christmas Eve services and they were packed out. And yeah, we had a great
That's time. So cool.
Yeah.
So how big is the church? Give us an idea how many people came on Christmas.
Sunday, we average somewhere in the 450 range. And that includes our kids, which is about 40% kids. So we have a pretty healthy kids ministry. We're a mobile church. We meet in an elementary school.
Nice.
So, you know, we're in and out every week. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
You guys set up and tear down every week?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I do not miss those days. We had a few campuses like that at Mars Hill, and it was – you know, bringing in the trailer at 5 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not fun, but.
We're looking forward to hopefully starting. We're talking about some things in the future here about moving toward getting in a building. So we're all very excited about the potential of not having to set up and tear down anymore.
And how old is the church?
We will be 3 years old in February.
Okay. And how long have you been working there?
I started, so interestingly enough, I kind of started as a drummer. I'm a musician first. So that's how I first got connected to the church. I started playing drums. Okay. And then probably about 6 months in, I was like, I had just finished a marketing degree. And I was like, oh, hey, I can help out in some other areas. So I just started serving, volunteering, doing that stuff. And it's just kind of slowly ramped up since then.
Wow. And are you full-time now?
Pretty close, 30 hours a week. So yeah, we're almost there.
Oh, that's like quarter time in church comm world.
I know, right? Yeah, for real. Exactly. I mean, it's 30 hours of like scheduled time that I'm in the office. I take a lot more time than that.
You actually get paid for.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit more. So during Hurricane Harvey, mm-hmm. obviously the area was pretty devastated by that. Lots of people were in need. Tell me kind of how that's when you started volunteering at the church, right? Stepping up and kind of using marketing.
It kind of coincided with that. I had started a little bit before that, but that's really where things got going. So, you know, when the storm hit, it's kind of crazy. Just living in Houston, you know, between July and I guess about November, you're ready for a hurricane at any time. You know, like it's just that comes with the territory of living in Houston. So you're always somewhat prepared for that. And even with this one, you know, like you hear that one is coming and there's a high chance it's going to hit. And so you do some preparation, but you never really know what's going to happen. Right. I feel like a large percentage of the time you get like the gloom and doom from the weather forecast and then it hits. And like, then you see all the memes shared of like the lawn chair blown over. It's like, we will rebuild, you know, all that stuff. It's like nothing happened.
We really need a new meme for storms.
I know, right? Yeah, we do. We need to make some new stuff. But yeah, so you just don't really know. And even leading up the week, leading up to Harvey, like they really didn't know what was, how bad it was going to be. They knew it was going to hit. They had a pretty good track at that point of where it was going, right. But you just don't really know. So what made Harvey so devastating was that once it got on top of Houston, obviously hit the coast and then bounced back out into the Gulf.
Yeah.
And then land, so it had strengthened going through the Gulf of Mexico, hit, you know, a little bit south of us, went back out into the Gulf, re-strengthened, and then came over Houston.
Oh,
and it just parked there. It stopped for like 3 or 4 days. However, the low pressure and high pressure, it just kept it right on top of us. So, you know, even leading up to it, I remember we weren't even sure if we were going to cancel services on Sunday, because I think that came in like Friday night, like Saturday morning is when it really was getting bad. And that week we were like, you know, we're going to still have church. Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
So on Friday, we ended up recording a service just to be ready to go, just here in the offices. We just recorded a quick little, you know, a few songs and a message.
Okay.
And then, you know, we knew like, oh, okay, this looks like it could be pretty bad.
Yeah.
And so then as the weekend continues, obviously services were canceled. And then over those next few days, the rain just keeps coming down and coming down and coming down. I think saw somewhere we got like, it was enough to cover the entire city of Houston with 27 inches of rain altogether.
I remember seeing like these time-lapse videos of freeway overpasses to where it was like over 4 hours, the entire
It was crazy. It was just out of nowhere. So like I said, you know, you're ready for a hurricane, but you don't really know what you're preparing for.
Yeah.
So, you know, after all that happens, a lot of us are stuck in our houses, can't really do anything. And then as the water kind of starts to slowly come down, at least as the main part of the storm passes, like that's really when things now have like kick into gear.
Right.
You know, so it started out like everybody just do what you can. So it started, I remember I was stuck, my house did not flood, but all the streets around me were flooded where I could drive in my neighborhood, but I couldn't go anywhere.
Wow.
So even I was stuck at my house, and I just kind of started following on Facebook what was going on. And I noticed like my pastor hopped on, and they were like in a boat going out to do boat rescues, like getting people
out of
houses. And that was like the first big thing that, you know, we kind of started seeing is all these rescues started happening. That was a cool thing too, to see, like, because overall the big thing that I love to see about Hurricane Harvey as a whole was how people came together. I mean, it was a really divisive, like 2017 was super divisive. It was Trump's first year in office. There's like all sorts of political crazy stuff going on, but all of that just went away. And people
even just here in Atlanta, I mean, we knew so many people who were just like, we're getting in the car and going and helping.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's what was crazy. It was like people from all over. Yeah. Like everything just like poured in. And you know, we had a bunch of people from Louisiana. It's called the Cajun Navy came in with all the boats and was like doing boat rescues off of roofs. But like people were sending out like Instagram messages like, hey, I'm stuck at this location.
Right.
Somebody come get me, you know, like, so that was really the first part of it. Like over the first couple of days was just getting people safe first, getting people out of their houses. Cause I heard stories of people, you know, like the water was rising in their house. They didn't have anywhere to go. So they would punch a hole in their roof to get into the attic they climbed into their attic and punched a hole through the roof to get up onto the rooftop.
Okay.
There's just nowhere else for them to go.
Wow.
People getting saved like that. And, you know, that's like the first like immediate response part. So then, you know, we take that a couple of days later and then it's like the water has started going down. You know, obviously the parts of downtown were underwater for quite a while, but in our area, you know, it wasn't more than a couple of days, but you still have people that they don't have a place to go. Their houses are flooded. Yeah. It's just a mess. And with how it goes, like it's going to take the government usually a couple of days to mobilize and get help. So what was crazy about it and what was so cool is to see the local church mobilize, and there were a bunch of places across the city that like by the time government aid got there, by the time FEMA got there, they're like, we're good, you know, like people have taken care of us already.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how everything started on our part of it. So at that point we were maybe a 300 person church, and you know, we didn't have a whole lot of manpower or anything, but we just said, hey, we're here to do what we can. We want to help in any way we can.
Right.
And everybody kind of jumped in the things that they felt like they could do. And I was like, I don't really know what I can do, but I can document what's going on and I can share what's going on and, you know, kind of be a bit of a network and see what else is going on in the city. So that's really where I jumped in, started getting on social media once we all got in. So what the office that we're in now, it's kind of like part of a warehouse office park type thing.
Okay.
We had just moved into like one little, like one room office as part of it. And even that, like, this was 2 weeks before the hurricane hit. And we were like, I don't know if this is going to be, you know, a good thing for us. It felt like God was pushing us into this, say like, hey, go do it. And we were like, can we afford it? You know, what's going on? But we took that step of faith. And crazy enough, 2 weeks later it hits and there's this big open warehouse right next door to us that they hadn't built out yet. So we go and talk to the owner. We're like, hey, there's this empty warehouse. Can we make this our base to start, you know, maybe collecting some stuff for people? And he's like, yeah, sure. It's all y'all's. Go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, and that's, I feel like that was kind of the theme of the next few weeks as things happen is like, there was a need and God provided for it.
And you kind of have to just, you can't just go back to normal, right? You can't just be like, okay, well, you know, services are on this week. Like you were probably shut down for a few weeks.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the thing. I mean, normal life is like, it's probably shut down. It's probably about a month that people, you know, like weren't going to work. Like there wasn't just really anywhere to go. A lot of people couldn't get anywhere, you know, like,
and power's then, still out.
Then yeah. Power's out in a lot of places. It was just, it was a mess. So, you know, and it takes, I would say, you know, we just passed a year anniversary of that. And there's some people that are just now getting their lives kind of back to normal, if you will.
Right.
But yeah, so it was a pretty crazy experience to see it all grow and see how God provided for needs. And that's, so where we stepped in most was with that warehouse. We kind of just started putting some calls out on social media, you know, like, hey, we're collecting some stuff here. If you want to make any donations, you know, we can accept it here. You know, water, diapers were a big thing that I didn't even really think about, not having a kid yet at that point. Like you need diapers, you know, food, and then, you know, cleaning supplies were a big thing too. So we just started collecting what we could into this warehouse, and to help our local community first is really where it started. And we did everything we could to help out around here. And as that continued to grow, that's where like God kind of just blew my mind with how things can work through social media and through networking that way. Cause where there had been divisiveness and craziness before, now all of a sudden it was a tool for connecting and putting our city back together.
Yeah.
So, you know, we started filling up this warehouse, and then we would hear in another part of the city, hey, we don't have any bottled water here. Does anywhere have some? I look out like, yeah, we have pallets of it right now. Let's get a truck. We'll get some over to you.
Wow.
You know, so we started doing that, and you know, that just kind of continued to grow. It seemed like there was times though that like it would empty out. We'd get to the end of the day, we'd have an empty warehouse. Like, I guess we're done. And then the next day we go down there again and it's full of stuff. We're getting like, you know, like at its height, we were getting 18 wheeler shipments from like North Carolina and California. Wow. Like all this stuff is coming here to the point where we
happen to be in a spot where like it was accessible.
Yeah, exactly. It was pretty easy to get to. And so it kind of turned from like a distribution center for our local community into this big thing that we were getting stuff sent out to the whole city. We had people connecting with, like, I think there was former military guys that got a hold of a helicopter that we were sending them shipments of stuff that they were airdropping into parts of the city that you couldn't even drive to. Like,
wow.
In the midst of it, you don't really think anything of it because you're just like, hey, what can we do to help?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, we get past it and we finally, like, a month later, it's like, what did we just do? Like,
what I love about this is, I mean, you know, 300 to 400 people, that's a pretty good sized church, but it's also a smaller church. Like I want people to hear this and know that through the power of social media and just connecting people, seeing needs and trying your best to try and figure it out. I mean, this was all probably done from your phone too. I'm sure you didn't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, for them. I mean, so our part of the city got kind of put back together. We had power running here pretty soon. So I was able to hop on a computer and do that. But I mean, that's really what it was. It was mostly through networking, through social media, through my favorite story of the whole thing is actually, we got a shipment of, we had two pallets of boxes of bananas. And so I'm like, okay, great. Like, thanks for helping. What do we do with this? And so I went down to check it out. They're not even like good, like they're mushy. And I'm like, they're still like, they're not brown. They're just like yellow and mushy. Cause they, I mean, it's what, I guess September at this point in Houston, like it's hot and gross. Like that's not
a last few days. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so what do we do with this? So I'm like, well, here we go. Like I post out on social media. We have these bananas. We don't have anything to do with them. If you want to come pick some up for like, they're not good to eat, but if you want to make banana bread or whatever, you know, come for it. Mm-hmm. So there is a few, right. We had a few ladies come and like grab some to go make banana bread, but then somebody commented on the post. I ended up connecting with them. There's a church downtown that their ministry, they do addiction recovery, and their ministry is fully supported by selling banana bread. Like that's how they fund their entire ministry.
Come on.
Yeah. So I got connected to the people that do that. I was like, we have these bananas. Do you want them? They're like, yeah, sure. So we loaded them on a truck, take it to them. And they took all of them. I'm just like, okay, God, cool. Like, how you can take something that I look at as like, I don't even know what to do with
right.
this. And yeah. like, I've got a purpose for that. So yeah, it was just crazy to see, like I said, every need, even needs that we didn't know were needing to be met, like stuff like that could go to support. And it was so
yeah. cool. Man, I love it. I think that that's great. Just I applaud you for jumping in. I mean, you weren't even, you know, on staff at that point. You were just yeah. like, what can I do to help? The church is, mm-hmm. you know, shut down. Obviously, we don't really need greeters or childcare right. for a yeah. while. Like, you know,
yeah.
but you just kind of stepped in and figured out what could be done. And I'm assuming the church wasn't too active on social media before then.
Not a whole lot. I mean, I had just, that was kind of the area where I had said like, hey, this is an area I can help out. Cause there was like nothing before
right.
I stepped in. Like there was not a lot going on. So like, I can at least, you know, get on and post some things. And
it's and not like you had a network already built.
Oh
like,
no, not at
following
all.
Following already built. Like you just
yeah,
kind of
stepped no, it there was not much of anything. And really it just came down to, you know, like people would start sharing stuff and then you just never knew the connections that could be made through that.
Yeah.
And that was what was cool to see is just like, you know, us that it felt like, you know, we're a small, I mean, not a small church, but overall a small church. We didn't even have a building. We didn't have a building we were operating.
Right.
Out.
Yeah.
And to just see, you know, like everything that was needed, like I said, like God just would bring this and bring this and then bring this person that needed this. And just to see how all those things were connected and interconnected.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind how it all happened.
Oh, I love hearing it. Just the providence, just the warehouse that was available, the landlord being willing to just let you use it. I mean, like everything just kind of seemed to fall into place.
Yeah, totally.
And I think your willingness, you know, for you and as a church really to just be able to be used and figure out what needs there were and meet them. I think that that's incredible. I think we can all learn a ton from that, you know, yeah, not only just, you don't need to necessarily have a solid plan or a network or anything in place. You just need to be able to be willing to be used, you know, when the time comes. So,
well, that's a big thing that, and I think it rings true, especially during that time. We say a lot, nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. And that
right.
was like the perfect example of it. Cause yeah. you know, me was a perfect example. It's like, I don't know what I can do. I can get on social media, but like, sure right. enough, like that became such a connection point for like all of these other things to happen. And a lot of it came down to like other networks we had, partnerships we already had with some other churches in the area.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know, just seeing people jump in where they could and the things that they were passionate about, I think that really was a big turning point for us as a church. Not just, you know, obviously, you know, with what we were doing, but I think a lot of people saw that moment of like, hey, this is, I can make a difference here. Like I can jump in and I like the feeling of being able to help people. And I think yeah. we saw a lot of momentum come from that too.
It's probably something you all experienced together that helps change the culture and trajectory.
Oh yeah.
Church,
yeah,
you know, I mean, sure. we're a year, you know, year and a half out from when this all happened. I mean, some people are still, you know, their houses were destroyed from the water
yeah.
and are still recovering from that. So, it's great that you guys are still there and active and growing and, you know, being a part of it right there in the middle of it.
Yeah. Well, and that's something else cool that we've been able to do too, that from that, you know, like we didn't want it to become a thing where it was just, you know, we were here when it flooded, we were here to help. And then, okay, let's just go back to normal life. We're trying to keep that going. So even, you know, like I think there was those floods in Carolina recently, we kept we kind of branded our relief efforts as the flood of love. It was kind of a joke at first. Our pastor said something about that. And like, it's like hashtag flood of love. I was like, that actually kind of works. Like let's roll with that. Yeah. Like good job.
Wow.
So we've been able to keep that going and we've kept receiving some donations into that fund that we can again, turn around and like, we've sent some stuff to Carolinas when it flooded or sent some aid to some other places. So,
yeah.
you know, even seeing how that has been catalyzed to not just our area, not just our city in that event, but how it's continued to help people across
the
country.
So many people poured in donations and help to you guys. It's great to see you kind of giving that back and continuing that. That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, what's your role like today? You're kind of, you know, 30 hours a week, you said, you know,
yeah.
almost full time at the church,
mm-hmm.
continuing this role. What's your day-to-day look like? Where some
Yeah, so my official title now is communications director, which
okay.
as you know, and probably most people know, that's like the master of all things.
Oh, yeah.
that
oh, yeah.
fills into a lot of stuff. So, you know, it's from there, from Harvey happening, it kind of stepped more from, you know, not just social media, but into more email stuff. And then I, along the way, I've picked up how to do some graphic design work. I do a lot of photography, and we just were able to purchase some video gear. So I'm getting into making some more videos. Yeah, so it's really all things communications at this point. I mean, I'm the prototypical one man team doing it all, making it all happen week to week as far as that stuff goes. Yeah, so you know, it's kind of grown over the past year or so. You know, I was part time for most of this year. I guess still kind of technically part time, but I treat it like my full time job. You know, that was one of the other crazy things too, even for me personally, that God kind of used through all that, is that I had left my job. I was a teacher. I was a music teacher before. Okay. I left that job in 2016 and had spent a year just teaching lessons and kind of doing some other stuff. And my big source of lessons in August kind of just got pulled out from under me, completely unexpected. So I was just left in this point of like, all right, God, I don't know what's next. Like, I don't really know what you have for me. And then Harvey hit. So I didn't have much time to think about it even. I kind of just jumped in. Yeah. And then as that continued and grew, I was like, oh, I see what you're doing here. Okay. Right. So, you know, I
knew what he was doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't, but he definitely did. Yeah. So I've spent the past, you know, year plus, excuse me, really just diving in and trying to learn as much as I can through, you know, through your podcast. So cool. I've dived into Brady's podcast and all the Facebook groups and all the things, and just tried to get my hands on as much information as possible and trying to learn how to serve in my calling. So that's been pretty wild.
And you said you got a degree in marketing. Where's that from?
Texas A&M, West Texas A&M in Amarillo. Yeah, I did it all online. Cause I was originally a music major for a while. And then, you know, I started touring. I actually toured with David Dunn for a little while when he was first getting started. And then, you know, was doing the music stuff. I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease in the midst of all that. And so ended up dropping out of school. But the music stuff kind of took off. I was like, well, I don't really need a degree for that anymore. Like, what else would be helpful? Maybe marketing. So I kind of just did that. And that's what's even crazy about that, looking back, is I didn't even know what that was going to be. You know, like, I was like, I'll get a marketing degree, but I'm going to be a musician. So, you know, to even see how God kind of started planting the seeds for where I am now years ago and has watered that into where it is now.
Do you think this is what you want to do now? Like, continue to work at the church and be in ministry? And
oh yeah, for sure. I'd felt a call into ministry a while ago and just never really, I mean, I felt like, well, I'm playing drums, you know, like I'm doing music.
I guess that's going to be it. Yeah.
That's my thing. Without even knowing what was going to come. But you know, now that I'm into this role, music has kind of taken a back seat, which is, if you'd asked me that, like, even 2 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, that would never happen.
Right.
But I love it, man. It's been so much fun getting in and learning how to do all the stuff. And I feel like half the time I don't know what I'm doing and faking it till I make it and doing that whole thing. But it's a blast. And I just love how, you know, all of really communications in the church can be used as an outreach tool, can be used. Sometimes it's tough because, you know, I feel like when you're a church communicator, you don't always see the fruit of what you're doing. You know, like, you know that you're making an impact, but you don't see the direct.
You don't always.
Correlation.
Yeah.
So, you know, like that part is fun. I think, you know, during Harvey, obviously I got a taste of that. I got a taste of like, oh, this is making a super direct impact.
Right.
And so that's really what kind of stirred that passion up in me to say, well, what else can we do with this?
Yeah. Well, Jeremy, I love hearing this. I love hearing your heart behind it and just how impactful you guys were during this time, and particularly you, just how you stepped up. I mean, you know, there's no, like, you know, you don't seem like the type of guy who wants to really take credit for that, but honestly, that's a huge thing that you did. You stepped up, you used the skills that you had, and you figured out the rest, and you're continuing to do that. And so I don't know how much you follow us and what we do. We've got, you know, we've got the conference that we do every year. And, you know, we've got Sunday U online training and things like that. And so as we come to the close of 2018 here, I wanted to do something to where we're, you know, we just give away something, and teamed up with my friends at Church Media Squad, Michael Duzinski and the team over there. And we kind of just dreamed up, but you know, what can we do? Let's pull our resources and let's throw this out there. And I kind of wanted to just hear people's stories, and I'm glad that yours surfaced up here. Carol and John at Declaration Church actually nominated you for this. And so we are choosing you to win our kind of grand package here. We're going to fly. We're going to fly you out here to Atlanta next year. We're going to put you up in a nice hotel. We're going to get you a rental car. We're going to give you a VIP ticket to that church conference, and it's not going to cost you a thing. We're going to take care of all of it. And on top of that, you're getting a month of Church Media Squad, which is unlimited graphic design services. So I know you said you kind of taught yourself graphic design to try to figure that stuff out.
Yeah.
Well, now at least for a month, I would suggest planning out your next 12 months of sermon series and just throwing it all at them and getting it all.
Right. Yeah.
Try to get them to do as much as they can in a month for you, but they're excellent. We use them, you know, for our own graphic design needs, and it's you know, high quality stuff. So hopefully that's helpful for you for a month. And we're gonna give you a year of Sunday U, so you can continue to get that training, connect with the community, download all kinds of resources for you. You'll have that for the next year, but I'm looking forward to meeting you, shaking your hand, giving you a hug.
Yeah, man.
Meeting you next year. I think it's
so awesome. Thank you guys so much. I'm like blown away. That's so incredible.
You're welcome, man. I think you deserve it. Out of all the nominations we had some really good people who all deserve this. But when I heard your story, Carol submitted that, and it just kind of touched me. I wanted to get you on here and hear more. And then John submitted as well. I don't know if they talked and both submitted, but they both submitted your name, and it kind of just kept coming up. So
yeah. Wow.
Hopefully you're available September 17th and 18th next year.
I'll make myself available. Hey, if I'm not going to have to, if I'll get some reprieve from graphic work, maybe that'll.
Yeah, there you go. Let them run it while you're gone.
Right? Yeah.
Well, we'll coordinate all that with you, and I'm excited for you to come out and
That'll be so great. I'm so excited.
Very cool. Well, thanks again for coming on, thank you again for sharing your story and for all that you do. I pray just continued blessings for Declaration Church and what you guys are doing there, and love hearing that you're continuing to help other tragedies around the country and the world. So. Congratulations on all you guys have done.
Thank you. Yeah, and thanks for having me on, man. I really enjoyed it.